The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What's going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 144. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
You didn't hear that, did you? Did you?
Nope, I didn't hear shit.
Oh, sorry, guys. We didn't test it before the show.
Oh, well, Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
What up?
And Adam Vale.
What's up?
All right, no Brian action. I don't know. He had to leave for some reason. And Brett will be with us later. He's watching Game of Thrones. You know, I keep wondering if we should start this show later until Game of Thrones ends this season, but never really cemented that. Oh, well.
I just don't get it because, I mean, you just record it or you watch it through the network. Like, that's what I'm going to do.
You know how some people do, man. They got to watch that shit live, you know?
I don't know.
Well, I don't get it either, to be honest, but, you know.
That shit ended like 40, 50 minutes ago, though.
Well, he's in a different time zone.
Yeah, he's in a different time zone.
That is true.
You know? All right, before we start, actually, I think he may record it. He just watches it on his own time. I don't know. I don't know how that works. Quick thing here. You know how you shouldn't misname stuff nowadays? well, I misnumbered the last episode of Throwdown. Like on air, I named it episode 143. It was actually episode 144. So I apologize for any confusion because you guys see it says 144. Then I say 143 and it was fucked up. And the reason for that is because on the show notes, I still left it at 143. The show notes always keep me in line. So I'm like, but I'm think about it like this. We've done almost 300 episodes of these. That was the first time I made that mistake. So that's still a pretty good track record. Mm-hmm. You know, because I'm always paranoid, like, yo, don't say the name of the wrong episode, you know? So just, you know, but nobody said anything. So I guess it wasn't a big deal.
And also it happens.
Exactly. And also I want to give a quick shout out to my man, Foxy Games UK. I was on the Gamer Couch podcast episode 57 today, you know, having a lot of fun with those guys. Here's the thing, Foxy, he usually hits me up like Sunday morning, you know, to, you know, if I could be on the show and stuff. The thing is like, he is hitting me up at it's 8 a.m. Like, because he's in England, so it's 8 a.m. for me. I'm sleeping. I'm not seeing that shit. So the show starts, like, around the time I wake up on a Sunday. So I can't normally be on. But this time he hit me up last time. I'm like, yeah, man, I want to fucking be on the show, you know? So you guys can check it out right now on our Throwdown crossover playlist, you know? Mm-hmm. I had a lot of fun talking about PS4 sales, PS5, crazy-ass fanboys. You know, the good stuff, you know, I got to give this dude props for pulling out topics because, you know, we struggled last week with that shit. It's been dry, man. You know, all right. Actually, I didn't even have my chat ready. Oh, whatever. For you guys in the chat, start asking a shit because we got plenty of space tonight. I guess because nothing's happening in the gaming industry, no one's really asking any questions, you know. Also, quick thing. I want to give a shout out to Adam for two reasons. One, a happy belated birthday, bro.
Oh, yep. Yes.
Happy birthday.
Yes, you know, thank you. I'm old.
You old bastard. We're 40 now, right?
Theoretically, we should have said happy birthday on the Thursday.
Probably. But this episode is closer to his birthday, I think, wasn't it?
It was Friday. Like 2 days.
Anyway, happy birthday. And also, shout out for the WrestleCast, brother. That episode blew the fuck up.
Yeah, it did. You know, it that shit is crazy. Did. You know, but it's funny because it's wrestling, but I have a feeling that it was more of the game portion of the WrestleCast because, you know, back to games and 2K18 coming out and still no gameplay. It's like these suckers are hiding something, you know, and we're coming close to release date, and this is not like them. Usually we're seeing all kinds of shit, and we're not seeing anything. So we brought that up on the WrestleCast, and it blew up, you know, a lot of people trying to figure out what the hell's going on.
You know, so that's pretty sweet. So go check out that episode if you're into wrestling, especially if you're into games and stuff.
Yeah. We talk about wrestling.
Yeah. Also, I want to give a little.
Do you guys talk about the new Fire Pro from time to time too?
Well, we talked about that. We brought that up, you know. But things that's also still in early beta. That's early access, you know. So they haven't even finished that one yet.
So yeah. A quick shout out to Sodep, who's in the chat room. He goes, "The best show on YouTube started." Damn right. Throw down, man. Now, let me ask you this question.
I'll drink to that one.
Yeah, me too. But now, my question is, do you think Throw Down Your Crutches is a better show than Throw Down?
Ooh. We're in competition with ourselves.
You know, that's a good problem to have, man.
I'm cool with that.
Okay, so let's get into it, man. First up, Mr. G Megaforce, 123. So his first question is, do you regret getting rid of a previous console or system? If so, which one?
I got a good one for this. I saw that.
Brett, you hold on. Brett just came in on the first question. The timing, my man, impeccable.
You know, I do what I can.
Exactly. You know, Brett, since you joined us, why don't you start, man? What console do you regret, like, selling off? Well, you're like, fuck, I still wish I had that.
You know, honestly, most of them, but that's kind of a double-sided question. Like, I had to buy all my own consoles growing up. And so if I wanted to play a lot of video games, unfortunately, the only way for me to do that was to work my ass off mowing lawns and such, as well as kind of sell off my old games. So I was never huge into, like, having a giant library of games. And, you know, I like, sold my Super Nintendo to get my Nintendo 64, because otherwise there wasn't a way I was going to get a Nintendo 64, because I didn't have a whole lot of money. So I regret not having a Super Nintendo, but I also don't regret not, you know, I don't regret having a Nintendo 64, and I don't know that I would be able to have done both. Or maybe, you know, later on. So yeah, as I look back on it, I was like, yeah, man, I wish I still had my Sega Genesis and my Super Nintendo are the two biggest ones. I really wish I still had my Dreamcast, but a Mad Cat's controllers destroyed both of my Dreamcasts. So not much I could do about that.
Man. All right. Just to piggyback off of that. Yeah. Back in the day, you know, we didn't have a lot of money. So it was basically like, when you want a new system, you got to sell the old system, you know? So I definitely regret not having my Nintendo, Super Nintendo, and Sega Genesis. I'm really upset I still don't have those. I sold all the games off. With the Saturn, it's like, that's it. No more. Not selling any more systems. So basically the oldest system I still own is the Sega Saturn. I have two of those. I also have two Dreamcasts. I don't know how the hell I got two of both of those, but I did. And yeah, but Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, for sure, man. And the Nintendo.
There was a lot more reselling back in the day, wasn't there?
There was. There really was, yeah, you know?
Definitely.
Like, it was very standard to sell your old system. Like, they didn't depreciate in value and, you know, plummet like a rock, I guess, the way that it did. They would still kind of retain their value, which lets you move on to the new generation.
You would still get a good amount of money off them shits, you know? GameStop didn't exist back then, you know?
Yeah, it did. Well, it was Software, et cetera,
and Funko Land. Yeah.
And Electronic Boutique.
Yeah, but I mean, they weren't one giant, massive corporation like they are now, where they give you like $2 for a console or something
that. They weren't that cheap.
They used to fucking jip you then, too.
They kind of did. They kind of did.
There's a little stuff behind that shit.
Go ahead, man.
I've actually, believe it or not, have never gotten rid of any of my consoles. My Super Nintendo eventually went bad. Like, you know, I never sold it. It just went bad, so I just gave it, My brother wanted the console, so I just gave it to him. But I'm like, dude, it's in black and white. It's probably not gonna work. And then I don't have my Sega Genesis, but I never sold it. I actually gave it to a friend who's a really big collector, and quite a bit of my games. I just, one of those things. It's like, it just kind of sits there in the house and stuff. So I just gave it to him. But I don't regret giving it to him, because I feel like it was a good, you know, it went to a good place. You know,
yeah, that makes sense.
I still, but by the way, I still have my Panasonic Real 3DO, and I still have both PlayStation consoles 2 and 1. I have, still have the 3 Dreamcast. I still have, and I have my original Nintendo Entertainment System.
Nice, all right?
But they're all in my mom's place.
Yeah, Adam, what you got, man? What about you?
Oh man, I don't really regret selling, but I've lost some stuff. I don't know where my Dreamcast is. I know I didn't sell it. You know, I don't know what my 3DO is. I know I didn't sell that either. You know, but because I definitely know what I did sell. And I definitely sold my Genesis and my Sega CD with all the games so that way I can get a PlayStation when that came out. And not only did I sell it, but I was able, this is an electronic boutique, I was able to trade all that stuff in and get an extra controller, get Mortal Kombat, and get that ESPN sport thing just so I can do the inline skating. You know, so that was it. But, man, I'm pissed because I swear it's in my mother's house somewhere. It's for all those things. You know, I had to work for those as well. And I remember I did a whole summer job at a flea market, you know, with one of my mother's friend's husband selling shoes, you know, so I can get enough money to get that 3DO. And then when I did, I got that just for Road Rash because it had Soundgarden in it.
Yep.
And FIFA. And that was it. Those are the two games I played all the time.
FIFA and then what was it? Yeah, it was the good other ones. It was like the Lost
Files. Later on. There was Monster Manor came out, Syndicate. The Sherlock Holmes was awesome. Till this day, that's still like a badass game. You know, that was so crazy. Yeah, there was some cool games. But yeah, that's so if anything, I have regrets because it's lost. So I would say my 3DO, I swear it has to be in my mother's house somewhere.
Yeah, I also have to throw in that 3DO had the best version of Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo on it. You know, yes, it great fucking soundtrack, man.
Yeah, you know? That soundtrack, the last time they reused that soundtrack, I think they used it on the one they released for Sony PlayStation and Sega Saturn.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, because for the one on Switch,
Street Fighter Legends or something.
Yeah, like that they called? they changed the soundtrack on Switch, which very much upset me. I wanted to hear the 3DO shit. The 3DO one I still listen to on YouTube when I'm like editing and shit. I'll just throw it into the background. You know, I love it. All right, Chris, man, what systems do you regret selling, man?
Well, I've never sold any. Well, no, that's a lie. I sold my N64. I don't regret selling it. Because I got Dreamcast out of it, and to me that was the best. I just regret not having my Genesis right now. I think it's with my mom, but considering she gave away so much of my shit when I went to college, I don't even know if she still has it. I gotta go find it because I had everything. I had the Genesis, Sega CD, 32X, the original one, so it was a giant tower and all the parts. I still have my games too. So
you had the Voltron.
Yeah, I had Voltron. Yeah. So that's the only thing. It's not here with where I am right now. But, yeah, I'd love to get my hands back on that. Because I have – right now I'm playing my old Genesis games off of either the Retron or the At Games player, which the At Games player is terrible.
We got to talk about that a little bit later if we got time. Because I've been hearing some shit, man.
Let me add this addendum to the question. How many of us still think our actual systems would be working? Because that's one thing I was thinking about, because there's no way in shit my Sega Genesis would still be working. Like, I played that thing half to death while I owned it.
All right, before we actually answer that part, Carlos, any systems you regret selling?
So I, for the most part, have most of my old systems. My Genesis, I don't know where the hell that is. Like, it got lost somewhere. My original Game Boy and Game Boy Color got lost. And the only systems I actually sold were the PS2 and the Xbox, the OG Xbox, and that was to get a 360. So I kind of don't really regret it to sell them. I could actually easily like just find them right now and repurchase them, and they won't be that expensive either.
Yeah. By the way, I should add my Game Boy. I didn't sell it. What happened was I was being stupid. I brought it to school. I let one of my friends. You know, borrow it, right? And then he started like an idiot playing it in class. The teacher took it from him. And then when I told my mom, like, hey, you know, I need, you know, can you get my Game Boy back? He's like, no, I'm not getting shit back for you. That's your fucking lesson, you know? So, by the way,
it costs money, though.
No, she says, you got to learn your lesson. I told you not to bring that shit to school. You brought it to school. That's what you get. And you know what's funny? I was actually talking to her about that. I'm like, mom, thank you for doing that. That's how you raise a fucking kid. You know,
I don't know. I would
do the same thing. Like, listen, I told you, motherfucker, don't bring that shit to school. You take it to school, take it away from you. You're not. That's it. You're done. You know, that's how you raise kids. You coddle kids, and people coddle kids too much nowadays.
I would go pick it up, but I just wouldn't give it back. for a while.
Just, I wouldn't get, no, like, yeah, fuck it. You fucked up. But yeah, okay. I could be wrong here. I think a lot of the older systems would probably still work. It's those laser disc systems that I'm not so sure about. I know the Sega Saturn's like 20 years. That shit's, those are already starting to die out. So laser systems like the PlayStation may not work now, you know?
The first PlayStations would be working, but as they got, I don't know which ones. I know that they did make it out of some pretty decent material. The PlayStation 2 one as Brett has said many times, is a special snowflake. That thing is, you know, as heavy as the damn thing is, it's made out of some pretty cheap parts, and it is prone to dying. The 3DO, on the other hand, the one inherent problem with the 3DO is that the battery goes dead inside of it, and you lose all your data. So that's one sad part of that. But they say the drives and everything seem to work pretty well. And the usual thing that goes bad on one of those drive systems, especially the ones that have the little mechanical draw system, is usually the rubber band or the little track that uses to kind of push in and out the drawer goes rots or something like that, and then can't open the disc bay.
All right, anybody else want to chime in on that?
I don't think any of my systems would have lived. I mean, other than the fact that I played things half to death, and I was a rough kid. So, and I think a lot of us probably kind of in the same boat, or maybe I'm just the only one. Like,
hell no, man!
I took care of my shit, boy.
I treated my shit like gold.
My original Game Boy screen started dying on me. It had lines form on the side and stuff. That was, and I took care of it. It just died.
Yeah, like you're not going to convince me of that for the original NES. Like that, come on, like that thing went that janky. Thing, like you had to get per
alcohol. Yeah, yeah, that thing. I'm not sure about, because you're right. Even if you took really good care of it, it gave you work just to play it. You know what I'm saying?
So
remember they used to sell those like alcohol things and the little rub.
Oh yeah, yeah, the whole
official, cleaning. You know.
The family NES still works. So, like, my brother kept our NES, and he plays it from time to time.
Yeah, those things, man. You know, I mean, if you get them to work, they work. The top loading ones are good. Like the old ones with the tray, those are kind of fucked up. But the top loading ones are still pretty good.
It's because of the way that because they decided to design it like a VCR. That's what the inherent problem with those are, is that they don't exactly touch the leads correctly. The only slight problem with the top loader one is that it doesn't have as good of a sound chip inside of as the original one, so the games don't exactly sound the same. But that one works better, and the original Famicom also works quite well.
Interesting. All right. Next question here: have you ever encountered a phobia of yours in a video game? You know, he's talking about spiders, pitch black, clowns. I'm gonna go first. I have one. Because y'all, actually, I don't know if I said this. I probably have. I'm insanely scared of the sea. Anything underwater scares the fuck out of me. So playing Eco the Dolphin, I loved the game, but I was like hair raising, you know, because I was like, I'm gonna bump into a whale, aren't I? I'm gonna bump into a fucking whale. Sure enough, bam, there was a whale right
now. You should tell them why you have a fucking fear of whales.
There is a specific
childhood story that has to do with whales that you have.
The only thing I can remember is like, when I was like five or six or something, like fucking, my cousins, they always used to fuck with me. Right. Basically they dumped me into like a bucket or something with fish in it. Those fucking things wriggling around and stuff. Right. But with whales, the reason I'm scared of them because how freaky they look. It's like this giant fucking monster that just stares at you. It's not going to kill you. It's just going to stare at you all weird, you know? Now, this problem was magnified to the nth level when I played the 3D version of Eco the Dolphin, right? Because one of my, the nightmares I used to have back in the day is like me being in a helicopter, being dropped off in the middle of the ocean. I get dumped into the water. And you know, when you go into the water for the first time, there's all this like shit around you can't see, even though you have your eyes open. So I would get dumped into the water. There'd be shit all around me. And once it clears, there's this giant fucking whale just staring at me. Scares the fuck out of me. That happened to Eco the Dolphin. I'm jumping around and shit. I'm like, don't whales, no whales, no whales, no whales. There's a giant whale. I'm like, fuck this game. Turn the shit off. Shut off the Dreamcast. I'm like, nope, fuck this shit. Can't do it. Can't fucking do it. You know.
You know. It's interesting. You know, water, and whales. You must be like some sort of evil supervillain or superhero, like from Unbreakable.
Yeah, right.
The kids, they call me Mr. Glass.
See, here's the crazy thing. If you dump me in the water with a fucking shark, I'm like, okay, this sucks. I'm gonna die, but at least I understand where the shark is coming from. He wants to kill me. I understand that a whale, he's just looking at me weird. I'm like, what's going on in your head, man? And I know you think. What weird whale thoughts are going through your mind? Freaks me the fuck out. So yeah, that's my phobia. Eco dolphin fucked me up. Other than that, that's it. That's the only real phobia I have. Fucking whales in the water, you know? Manny, what about you? Phobias. Phobia!
Phobias in games. I don't have any real phobias.
Manny's a Green Lantern, man. No fear.
I mean, I have fear of things, but I don't like. I've never something in a video game has never bugged me to the point where I don't where I had to turn it off because I was so frightened. You know, though I don't play very many frightening games. I mean, Resident Evil and a few other ones, but no, I didn't. Nothing in those games. I'm like, oh, these things are fucking gross. I mean, like they look like nightmares, but you know, like the shit in Silent Hill and stuff. But no, never really been. Seen anything phobia inducing?
All right, Chris.
Even clowns, and I don't like clowns.
You know, Chris. What about you, man?
Every freaking Souls game has some sort of giant spider, or multiple spiders, or thousands of freaking horrible spiders that jump at you and can murder you in one hit, or shoot lasers, or breathe fire, or something out of only the depths of the Japanese nightmares do they pull these things from, you know, and put them in the games for me. It's like, here you go, Chris, happy birthday. It's like, thanks, giant spider that shoots lasers. Thank you.
Have you ever seen any of the Japanese like monsters? Like, they have thousands of these monsters, and they're all fucking nightmares.
Yeah.
Like, if you grew up in a culture where you had, like, I mean, you know, we have, like, Western culture, we have, like, werewolves and all kinds of, you know, vampires, you know, simple things. Like, hey, look, it's a dog man. Hey, look, it's this. No, they have, like, weird shit, like the fucking ring, like, in their legends.
Oh, yeah. They have tons of, like, demons and all this shit in their mythology. And, like, a few guys that are like, oh, yeah, he's cool. But check out the 10,000 monsters that he has to fight. You know, like, they all got tentacles, or they breathe fire, or you can't kill them. I don't know. Anyway, From Software always manages to squeeze in something with spiders. I hate spiders. And they always put them in the game. And they're usually a boss or something, you know, really, really horrible.
Chris, let me tell you, Chris has, like, zero tolerance for spiders. Living with him for I was like 4 years or 5 years we lived together. This is one time me and Jossie were inside of a train station when we were waiting there with Chris. I'm like, hey, look, there's a spider. And all of a sudden I see a foot go and just destroy it.
It's kind of interesting because with me, it's a little bit of the opposite. Like, I fucking hate bugs. Like, I hate fucking bugs. Yet when I see a spider in my house, I'm like, okay, you kill bugs. You do your thing. I'll leave you alone, buddy. You stay out of my way, I'll stay out of your way. You're fine. You know, like, if it was a big, big spider, then I'm like, okay, buddy, you may need to leave now. You're a little too big. But the regular house spiders, I leave those motherfuckers alone because they're doing me a favor. You know, especially in the project, I got roaches and shit. I'm like, you eat the roaches, man. We're good. You know, all right, Carlos, man, what you got?
What's interesting, I don't have like severe phobia of anything. The only kind of thing that I would consider like a phobia of mine is heights to some extent, but it's ironic because obviously heights in video games don't bother me at all. It's like actually like really fun, like when you're jumping off of things, like in Just Cause where you're gliding and like jumping off of buildings in GTA, floating around and skydiving or whatever game. So it's interesting. Like, I've encountered a semi-phobia of mine, but I didn't necessarily dislike it.
Interesting. All right, Brett, what you got?
I don't know what the name of my phobia is called, but like, I have a phobia of dark or brackish water. Like, not even so much like the water by the beaches, but you know, when you get 20, 30, 40 feet out kind of thing and everything starts to kind of turn dark is when I start to flip my shit. So there was actually a really interesting part in Ark where basically you have to go into the mountains and collect the metal. And then in order to get plastics, you have to collect oil from the seabed, which involves like diving down to like this really dark fucking scary water full of megalodons, which those that don't know are like, great white squared. Like it is about like four to ten times the size of a great white shark, and just equally as horrifying, more so. So I actually legitimately had problems doing that. And when we were playing Ark as part of the tribe, like, I would have to assign other people roles to go in the water. So I'd take a bird and I'd grab people and I'd fly them as high over as the water as possible, so I could drop them in and they'd plunge as far down as possible to collect the oil, and then they'd swim back up to the surface and I'd catch them. But I would be fucked if I was the guy going down into the water. I tried it a couple times, and just, it was one of those like spine tingling, like, no, I can't do this. This is just really making me super uncomfortable.
Dude, you describing that shit just made me uncomfortable because of my phobia. Here's the thing, right? Just to clarify, it's not exactly the whales that bother me. If I saw whales flying in the sky right now, I'd be like, that's fucking awesome. It's being in, because you're underwater, you can't see shit. Everything's dark. You know what I'm saying? So seeing this massive shape that you can't exactly make out what it is, but you still have a little beady eye, that freaks me the fuck out. But if it was a whale literally next to me right now on dry land, I'd be like, cool, let me check this thing out.
Here you are.
Smell like shit, but yeah. Okay.
But yo, trying to like go into like a black ocean with megalodons? Fuck that shit. No way, man.
Yeah, it's, oh God. That's why the Atlantic scares me way more than the Pacific, because the Atlantic is just, it's darker and it's more opaque. And that translates to other things, like to a much lesser extent. I'll piggyback off of what Chris says. Every Dark Souls game has this like dark swampy area, and every time I get to that area, I'm like, I hate these, not one of these again, no, please. But every Souls game, you get to that point where you're like, well, it's the swampy foresty area filled with brackish poisonous water and horrific maggot creatures.
Oh man.
Yay.
By the way, quickly, Barry Burton says his phobia is having to go through an entire game where it's nothing but an escort mission. Oh man.
Well, Barry, you would know something about that one. Being you, who you are.
Yeah, no, fuck that. Cal also says they need to make Eco the 3D, you know, Eco 3D prehistoric edition for Tony and Brett. No, yo, I played this one game. It was called, I forgot what the fucking name was. It was a VR game. I'm underwater with dinosaurs. Oh my fucking God.
Mm-mm.
Hey, but you know what? The developers gave me props because I made it through the entire demo. For other people, check the fuck out. They're like, nope. My thing is like, listen, I'm not going to look like a pussy in front of these developers. I'm going to tough it out. I was scared shitless, bro. There's fucking dinosaurs everywhere swimming around me. I don't know where the f- like. Ooh.
And this is where Adam feels vindicated.
Yeah, you see, told you. Damn dinosaurs.
No, but here's the thing. The reason I kept going was also because like, okay, the dinosaurs are scaring me, but they're also dinosaurs. So I have to keep playing, you know? Oh, anyway, Adam, man, what about you? Gaming phobias realized, man.
Realized the first, and when I read this in the show notes, the first thing that popped up was Manhunt. I have this phobia of isolation in a bad area.
Oh, shit.
And I guess because I've had that time, I've had a few times where I was in a bad area and I had to leave at night. And I'm like, damn, I'm in the South Bronx. And I gotta travel all the way out of here to Brooklyn. This is gonna suck. Everything just turns like night and day, two different places. And when I played Manhunt, I got that feeling. It's like if you ever played Manhunt, you're by yourself,
you're
in this bad area, and you have to kill these people to get out. Use a paper bag over their head, a shiv, all this stuff. And that really stuck with me, you know. And I hate that. I hate knowing that I'm going somewhere, whether it's just really, if anywhere is really quiet or is definitely, like I remember when I was playing The Last of Us, and remember that one, I think it was at the college, and you work your way all the way up, right? Everything is quiet, and then all of a sudden you hear all this shit downstairs, and now you have to work your way down. That freaked me out because it's you're isolated, it's quiet, there's nothing around, but now there's these creatures and shit that are there waiting for you, and you have to approach it, you have to engage. Yeah, isolation, don't like it.
Oh man, that's a good question. I like that. All right, moving on here to Mr. Black Metal Gamer. So he goes, what are some of the best and worst pre-order bonuses you've ever received? Manny, I'm going straight to you.
The Batarang from Batman Arkham Asylum. The stupidest pre-order bonus shit you would ever fucking guess. It is like, okay, you look at the thing, you're like, oh man, this is awesome. It's like a plastic Batarang. You know, it's a Batarang, you know. But when you get it back, it looks just like cheap. It's like this big piece of cheesy plastic. It doesn't even look metal. It was horrible.
Oh, man. What about the best?
The best one, shit. Pre-order bonuses?
Yeah.
Just a bonus.
You know, here's the thing. The Batman wasn't a pre-order bonus. That was a, what is that?
Edition.
A special
collector's
that was a collector's
edition.
Edition.
Right?
Yeah, okay. That is the worst collector's edition. Oh, same thing with the Resident Evil. Put the Resident Evil 5 and Street Fighter collector's edition with those cheap ass fucking figures they put in there.
Oh man.
Pre-order bonuses. I don't know. I can't think of anything that was.
Street Fighter 4 also came with the same cheapy type of
figure. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Those two they had the same shitty figures.
Yeah, terrible. Yeah. Well, Street Fighter 4 also came, at least the one I had, it came with the movie, the DVD.
That movie was also terrible.
The movie was pretty shitty.
With the Chinese movie?
It was an anime movie.
Yeah, it was this crappy anime movie made just for the game.
Oh,
it was
like a 50 minute
movie about. It was crap.
Cheap and crap, yeah.
Pre-order bonuses. Shit. I don't know. I mean, I had some interest. I mean, some of the interesting ones I have gotten was like for Okami, they gave you a little brush and ink and brush set with a little pad that you can do ink drawings with. I thought that was kind of fun and cool.
That was the pre-order, not the collector's edition, right?
No, it wasn't the collector's edition. You just pre-ordered and you got that.
Cool.
There was no collector's edition. Like collector's editions were a little bit few and far between in those days, you know, in PlayStation 2 era. Like,
yeah.
Very rarely. Like 3 is when we started getting those things. A lot more of those things. And I think that's also when they started buying you know, when the two companies merged. But yeah, I can't say I have had anything too like lousy. I don't know, maybe one of those dumb skins that you kind of get they give you.
Yeah, like, yeah.
That's
one of the best. I think I know how to answer this question.
Go for it, dude.
Okay. Pre-order bonuses don't actually matter 99.99% of the time. They're either something really incredibly flimsy, the quality of a McDonald's toy, or they're something that you can get in-game anyway, usually by early game.
Some of them have given away soundtracks, which I think is cool. I'm cool with getting a soundtrack.
I don't mind getting, but see, here's the thing. All of those things that are like giving away, you know, the digital soundtrack or the bonus items or anything like that, like even if you buy a game off the shelf a month after release, it still has, you know, you still get all of that stuff. So those aren't a lot of times technically actually pre-order things. They're just hyping up something that's already on the disc as a pre-order. And the times like where Dark Souls, like, oh, you get a weapons pack. Like, okay, we're going to get all these weapons, you know, within 5 hours of the game. So the only real advantage is you get to play around with a bunch of weapons from the get-go and decide which one you want to play with. So I'm going to go ahead and say that just about all pre-order bonuses are fairly irrelevant. And I would say that the worst ones, at least in my book, are the ones that give you a short amount of content or a small amount of content shortly before you would naturally unlock it simply through game progression. I would say the best pre-order bonuses are $12 off when you order through Amazon.
Ooh, I know one. The shitty art books that they sometimes give you.
Yeah, that was going to be my answer.
Metal Gear Solid 4 came, like, if you pre-ordered Metal Gear Solid 4, that wasn't the collect. It didn't matter which version of it that you pre-ordered. If you just pre-ordered it, you get a supposed art book, but all it had was a shitty, like, licensing art. No actual real artwork in there. But then, alternatively, Metal Gear Rising Revengeance actually had a good pre-order art book bonus, which you actually did get a real art book.
Interesting.
With art in it, as opposed to CG junk.
I don't know.
Go ahead, Adam.
All right. Well, I mean, when it comes to the pre-order stuff, recently we've seen some good ones, like at least from Telltales. Because I remember with Batman, if you pre-ordered this first season, you got Wolf Among Us, the whole thing. You know, and for the PS4, you got the current one. So that's pretty cool. And then even now, if you pre-ordered the Batman Season 2, you got the first season complete.
Right, that's pretty cool.
As a pre-order. So that's pretty cool. You're getting two games for price one. And I think they did that with the Tomb Raider, too. I think that was it. If you had the Tomb Raider that 20th anniversary, you got the previous version also, the definitive.
Yeah, yeah. Finishing.
You know, when it comes to the worst, I've had a bunch of them. You know, I had one that, the one that comes out to me now is Halo with the helmet. think that was for Halo 3. I wound up getting this, the Halo 3 special collection where the helmet is numbered. And when I took it out, I realized I couldn't put it on. And I'm like, yo, what the hell is this? I thought this was a helmet. They said it's a cat helmet. I'm like, what the fuck is a cat helmet? Even a cat can't put this shit on. But that's what they call it. You know what I mean? So it's a massive helmet. It looks legit until you look and you tip it upside down and realize that it's all closed in and it's just like a little empty spot for the stand hole. You know, I'm like, this is bullshit. You know, they should have just said that. Because, I mean, you saw Titanfall 2 recently released a special edition helmet and you can wear it. And it beeps and lights up and does all this crazy shit. You know, what else? I had a Assassin's Creed came with a jack-in-the-box, which was weird. And it didn't really work right and stuff. It was a cool idea. And then Dead Space had this one where you get a physical gun, the line cutter. And I thought,
oh, that was terrible. That was my answer, dude. The line cutter was made for like a 5-year-old. You couldn't actually hold it in your hand.
It looked like I thought I was expecting like a real line cutter toy, light up. No, it was like this thin plastic. I was like, this is garbage. You know. So there goes that. But my favorite will always be my favorite.
Which one is that?
Uh-oh.
Yo, he froze at the perfect moment.
He's leaving us in suspense. You know, like, what the fuck?
That's the second time. That's the second time someone from Throwdown has put us in suspense.
All out three, right? Lunchbox. When this
Adams, hold on. You literally froze when you said, my favorite will always be, and you just stopped.
That is weird.
Okay, so it's Fallout 3, you said?
The Fallout 3 lunchbox. That came with Fallout 3 if you had the collector's edition. Like, it's not pre-order, but it was a collector's edition. It was hard to find. And then I came across it, and I was like, oh, this is it. So, yeah, I always keep it. It's a beautiful lunchbox.
Nice. Yeah. Can we all at least acknowledge the Pip-Boy that came with the Fallout 4 pre-order?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Or the collector's edition. Yeah, I really wish I had gotten one of those.
But it only worked for certain phone sizes. They said something about, like, the larger phones, it couldn't support it. That's the reason why I didn't get it. I was like, oh, damn, I can't use it then.
I don't even care.
Yeah. All right, Chris, you kind of already hinted at it. So
yeah, the Dead Space 2 line cutter has to be one of the worst things I've ever gotten with a game. Like, I would have rather had a crappy CG art book than that thing. It was like this flimsy little toy. And they said it would illuminate the wall. You know, you'd see the laser against the wall. You would have to turn off the light. At all the lights and be 3 inches away from the wall to see it. Like, it was worthless. And plus, it was tiny. Like it really was meant to be held by a toddler. Like, it wasn't be for a full adult man. This toy wasn't meant to be.
It was a sham.
Yo, J Dub, by the way, shout out to J Dub, who's in the chat. He goes, Need for Speed Blue Tire Smoke. That was a pre-order bonus.
Blue Tire Smoke. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Wait, while we're on this topic, did you see what got announced today for Call of Duty, the World War II one? That statue with the soldiers and then with the big metal piece that was on Normandy Beach and the whole thing. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Beautiful, but I'm like, shit, that's probably going to cost like $250 or something. Remember when they released that fridge? I wonder if people enjoyed that. It came with a fridge. It was like a fridge, and it holds like six bottles or six cans of soda or something like that.
Mountain Dew, right?
Yeah, what about the thermal glasses, the thermal goggles that came with
that? That worked. Those worked. I saw YouTube videos. People were like, yo, these just work. That wasn't a gimmick. That actually worked.
All right, no, man. I mean, I'm saying they were for one of the crazy things they gave you.
Oh, yeah. They have had all kinds of craziness. Even Destiny. Didn't Destiny have like some crazy RC car or something like that?
No, one of the Call of Duties had an RC car, but Destiny had the little the ghost.
Mass Effect, the new Mass Effect Andromeda had that vehicle. You can get that vehicle.
Oh, shit.
But the thing is, that it didn't come with a controller. You had to use the phone app. You had to use your phone as that. And I'm like, I need buttons. I'm using an RC car. Well, you know, I've broken many of Manny's toys, you know, in the back. Remember when you had a collection of these? Your dad used to get you all these RC cars.
Yeah.
I mean, we tried to make them jump off of stuff, but they were never good at like climbing up.
No, they never jumped. And the other thing was that they didn't have different frequencies. So if you had one, you could actually take control of the other car.
Yeah, we've had
them at the same time.
I remember we had this one and we were racing it up and it like hit the crack of a sidewalk and then got stuck in reverse, remember? And they it was stuck in reverse the whole time. It broke.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, all right.
Stupid hovercraft. You remember that thing?
Oh shit, that's right. You had a hovercraft.
I had the stupid hovercraft. That shit didn't even go over. It was supposed to go over like little puddles. We tried to get that thing to go over a puddle, dead.
Yeah. All right, let's move on here. Last question from Mr. Black Metal Gamer. Are there any gaming genres you used to love but got sick of? And the reverse, are there any gaming genres back then that you didn't like but now love? The good one. I got my answers, but I'll go to Carlos first. Mr. Romero.
So, I got to think about it.
If so you I to come back to you, man.
Yeah, come back. Come back
to me. All right, Adam, go ahead, man.
Oh, man. You can come back to me.
Damn. Okay, I'll go first because I actually have my answer.
Yeah, this is a tough one.
This actually kind of easy. Back in the day, I used to love rail shooters. They were my shit. I love those. But then when I played like a Dead Space rail shooter, I was like, I don't think I like this genre anymore. Like, I think I just outgrew this shit. So that's one. I don't hate it. It's just, not for me anymore. And back in the day, this may surprise a lot of people, I used to hate fucking RPGs. Hated them. I'm like, I have to wait turns. What the fuck is this shit? But now obviously, Final Fantasy VII changed my entire perspective on the genre. So I fucking love RPGs now, but I hated them back in the day. All right. So Manny, man.
Genres that I liked but hate now, and vice versa.
Doesn't even have to be hated, just not like as much.
I can't say it's weird because like I don't play as many like fighting games as we in general we don't play as many fighting games.
Because
like I mean, we used to be like pretty big fighting game heads back in the day, but yeah, I can't say I hate them, but I can say that I don't like a lot of the newer ones.
Okay, so that's one. So what about the reverse? Like genres you didn't like back then that you actually like now?
Not really. I mean, I still don't really care for first-person shooters. I still hate open-world games, which are 90% of the fucking games on the market.
Oh, man. All right, Chris, go ahead.
A genre I dumped that I used to play religiously is real-time strategy.
Oh, shit.
I played every single Warcraft. I go back to Dune 2. I don't know if anyone remembers that. First thing.
Oh, yeah.
The Command & Conquer games. Yeah, like I was.
Because that genre died, though?
Civilization is still going strong.
I used to play Heroes of Might and Magic and all that stuff, but
Company of Heroes is still going strong.
There's still a bunch of RTS games out there.
Yeah. I've just fallen off because I don't know, after the South Korean kids came in, I just quit. The game changed, man. I don't know. These guys play like
That's true.
Yeah,
I'll just say that.
What about the reverse?
Oh, the reverse. Let's see. I guess open world games, because I was always a fan of like three main things: RTS, first person shooters, and racing games. So that's all in there. But I never really liked the original GTA. I'm like, what is this madness? This is stupid. It was all top down and shit. And this guy would yell "wasted" and I'd get killed. I'm like, this is fucking stupid. Boy, have I changed my tune. I love this shit now. So yeah, that was open world back then, or what was considered it. I never liked it, but now I love it.
Nice. All right, Brett.
I got mine.
You got your okay.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready.
All right, go ahead, Adam.
It would be Racing Sims. I was really big into Racing Sims, like with Forza and stuff. I would get the strategy guide with the books to see how I can adjust each car perfectly. I had the racing wheel, and I was really into it. And then it's just like, I just got tired of it to the point. And I think it was probably Burnout that did it. I'm like, oh, wow, I could play a racing game and just race and bang into shit.
Yo, no, the reason I said that, Adam, is because I actually, that's me right there. You just described what happened with me. I used to be one of those sim guys, right? Like Gran Turismo, I'm like, oh my, this is the shit right here. This is awesome. Yeah. I love tuning and all that. Then I played Burnout 3. I'm like, racing sims are stupid now. This is funny.
Yeah, I was like, it just takes too long. And it's like even now with Horizon 3, I picked that up and I'm playing. I'm like, that doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, but that's not a racing sim.
It's not, but it still just doesn't do it for me. It's just the controls. But I did like Drive Club. know, yeah, and yeah. I did get into Drive Club, you know, and one that flipped on me that I actually do like now, and also the second one, RTS, I phased out of that altogether. Yeah, I'm in that same boat with Chris. I just can't anymore, you know. But one that came back to me was those storytelling ones, the Telltale style style of games. I didn't really like those. I didn't like, you know, what was the one with Monkey Island and all of those? Yeah, those adventure games. I didn't like those. I felt like they were the point and clicks. They were very old school PC style, you know. And I'm like, oh, I don't. We've evolved. There's no.
Wait a minute. But you liked Willie Beamish in Rise of the Dragon.
I just want to remember that. Willie Beamish. But it's like I don't think it was like the genre that I really cared for. You know, it wasn't until Telltales came around again and had their new approach. Like even their earlier stuff still sucked. Like with the Back to the Future, you know, I tried that. I didn't like.
I like Back to the Future, man.
I thought Adam was gonna say, and this is just a joke, but like I started liking them until they became easy platinums.
Easy platinums? No, no. Hey, no, that could be. But no, it's like even then, I was like, it was. I think, yeah, I have to say, it's just when he started adding more stories, like when they did The Walking Dead. And then that's when it really turned me on. And I was like, you know what? I can do these talking things and just walkie-talkies. And it's all right. I can do it.
See, I had the polar opposite effect. I used to love point-and-click adventure games. And I started hating them when Telltale put them out.
Interesting. But Brett, since you're talking, you know, go ahead.
Well, I used to love point-and-click adventure games. And I definitely fell off that bandwagon about the time Telltale started putting them out. I would say that I really used to not like... puzzle games for the most part, but those changed a little bit. Like I didn't like Myst or any of that kind of shit, but I fell in love with Portal. So if you count those in the same category, I've sort of flip-flopped on that. And games that I used to love that I don't love, RTS, paramilitary shooters, Rainbow Six kind of stuff. God, I played 4 or 5 iterations of Rainbow Six.
What about genres you used to not like that you like now?
I'd say that'd be puzzle games, probably. Okay. Like if you count Portal as a puzzle game, the same as like Myst or an Evolution of such. Like, yeah, I did not like games that had almost no combat, all puzzle solving. But you know, I've if it's done right now, and that's hard to say because if you came out with a new Myst today, I'd probably still say fuck that shit. But so maybe it was just. Portal. I don't know that there's any games that I necessarily used to hate that I'm all about now, honestly.
All right. We'll move on then. By the way, guys, in the chat, if you want to ask us some shit, please do.
By the way, I got my answers.
Oh, you finally do. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, so a game, like a genre that I used to, like, it's not that I used to hate, I used to talk shit about because I was ignorant about it, was the MMORPG, but then I got into WoW. And that changed my perspective on everything. So that would be
what happened.
Yeah, man. Like that's something that changed my views on stuff. So that's something I got into. Something that I stopped playing as much is sports games. I used to play them a lot. I even sent you guys like a while back like I tracked my hours of like how long I've played these games. So like I played 200 hours of NCAA football and stuff like that, like 300 hours of NBA 2K or Madden and stuff. But the reason why I stopped playing them for the most part, I still do like every once in a blue moon. But the reason why I stopped playing them as much recently is because the crowd of people I used to play video games with used to play those games a lot. So I used to play them with them. But since I don't play with them as much anymore, I don't really gravitate to those games anymore. So, yeah, that would be one that I stopped playing.
All right. We'll move on here. By the way, okay, I'm grabbing some of the questions. Then keep them coming, guys. All right. All Day Digital. So his first question is, has there been any video game that changed the way you did things in your everyday life or had a personal impact on you, good or bad? Very deep question there.
Stop carjacking. Because of Grand Theft Auto. I was like, yo, this is putting me down a dark path.
Yo, shit, that's funny.
Shimnu taught me to be mindful.
How so?
Mindfulness in the sense of, at least one definition of it is to be, you know, very hyper aware of your surroundings, being very mindful of everything that's going on around you. You know, kind of the idea of being in the moment, kind of that zen-like feeling. And And Shemdu kind of taught me to appreciate quiet and appreciate the silence or the slow points, because they'll be contrasted in your life by the quick points. So it after playing that game, I definitely looked at the world or looked at my everyday a little bit different, because, you know, I had just been playing a game where one of my primary source of fun was to go work a job driving a forklift and then go play classic arcade games. So it kind of made me realize that, you know, life is what you make it, and, you know, those quiet, simple times are sometimes some of the best. So I remember that being something that very stuck with me quite a bit.
We all know that every single parking lot that you walked past, you wanted to start practicing martial arts in them.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Manny.
Let's see. Games that have changed the way I've lived. I have to say, maybe the ending of Metal Gear Solid 1, where actually both, one and two, which they kind of give you these really kind of optimistic messages. So it's like the first one was like, you know, the question was, how long do I have? And it's really, it doesn't really matter how long you have. It just matters what you do with the time that you have, which was the kind of ending of that one. And then the other one was in Metal Gear Solid 2, it's like, you know, despite you not feeling that you have control, you actually do have control of your life, and you can pass on the things that you've learned to, you know, to the people around you. It may not be offspring, but it may be other people and stuff like that. So I thought those were kind of cool, like, messages that kind of...
That kind of reminds me of Bioshock.
Yeah.
I would throw Bioshock in there,
too. That overrated game?
Yeah, right.
Screw you, Tony. I saw that too. By the way, I disagree with that.
Yeah, I do think it's overrated. Because, you know, again, I've talked about this before. I played the first Bioshock maybe 5 years after it came out. I'm like, what's the big deal about this fucking game?
Oh, my God. That's a whole other show.
Let's plot twist centered around the ideals and principles put forth by Atlas Shrugged and proposing the duality of
man. Atlas Shrugged is, dude.
it's a story about free will and what makes a man, and the components that people are made of that drive them to do the things that they do. Like, even without the mechanics, the story is one of the best twists. The thing,
when I finished the game, I'm like, I don't know what happened. I went on Wikipedia.
Did you have the good ending or the bad ending?
I got the ending where, like, the little girls visit you in the hospital in the end.
Okay, that was a happy ending.
But the thing is, I had to go on Wikipedia. It's the game's like, what, 10 years old? Fuck that, you know? So I had to go on Wikipedia.
The whole first part of the game, you're a sleeper agent, and you don't even know it. And you're just reacting to these cues.
I felt it was kind of stupid. Dude, I didn't think it was very well done. You know,
the cues that you're reacting to are cues that you've been trained to react to in video games over the course of a lifetime. So while he's subtly manipulating you, he's subtly manipulating you by getting you to react. Like, the whole time you're like, well, this is just the stuff I do in a video game. And then you get to the point where the big reveal happens and you're like, why have I been doing this stuff? Just because some guy asked me to in a certain way? And then you realize that you, as the player, have been doing these things because somebody asked you to in a certain way. So you're like, I am just as dumb as this protagonist. I literally fell into the same plot hole that the protagonist fell into.
That shit flew right over my head. I didn't catch any of that. I was just like at the end, I was like, what the hell just happened?
Did it freak you out that there was whales down there? Like, did you see? Because there were whales.
It did. I'll be honest. It did freak me out. But anyway, back on topic. Now I forgot the fucking question.
I got my answer.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't have anything as philosophical as Manny's, but playing Yakuza 0 and Persona 5 before going to Japan, like, just bettered the experience of me being in Japan. It's like just doing all these callbacks to the game. It's like, oh, that's from the game. That's from the game. Yo, I'm in Shibuya Station. Yo, this is where the politician is freaking, like, giving his freaking sermons and stuff. It's like, it's something that, like, made my experience while being in Japan even more enjoyable than it would have
Nice. For me, this is going to be a weird one. Grand Theft Auto 4 taught me the importance of your friends, because that game, like half of it was you spending time with your friends and building up those relationships, and playing that game and realize that, yeah, like you got to pay more attention to your people and stuff. You know, you got to like go out of your way, even if it's like a little phone call or a text or something. And I know it's weird coming from Grand Theft Auto, but that game taught me, it's like, yeah, your relationships are very important. You got to keep nurturing those, you know?
Same thing for San Andreas, because I don't know if you guys wanted me to spoil San Andreas.
San Andreas is like 20 years old, man. Go ahead.
Yeah. Your friends betray you.
Whoa, yeah, whoa, man, whoa.
Too soon. Too soon.
I know. Oh, I can't believe it. Okay, I'm not the only person that feels this way. Come on, Dark Souls.
What about it?
Half of the forum posts that I read about Dark Souls, like have this common theme of when people start playing it. They feel like it's this giant, monstrous, impossible thing, but they slowly chip away at it by banging their head against the wall until the wall gives, and then you get this exhilarating experience, and you kind of walk away from it learning the lesson that no matter how big or scary or impossible something looks, as long as you are persistent and willing to learn, that you can overcome any obstacle. And I've actually heard that put forth in that way from a lot of people who have cited Dark Souls as helping to pull them out of a depression. Because the whole thing could be kind of an allegory towards, you know, fighting off mental demons. On that note, that's why I'm looking forward to Hellblade.
Nice.
I mean, I always say with the souls, any of the souls worlds, and even the Bloodborne world, it's like a world at the apocalypse. You know, everything has already gone bad. You can't fix this world.
Well, yeah, but it's just about persistence, though.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's whether to, you know, to go, you know, to continue to go forward and continue on your journey, because again, there is that urge as a gamer to want to fix things. And even in those games, the more you try to fix what's going on, the worse that it gets. You know, you try to save those people inside of, you know, in the church. You put them in the church, and then eventually, you know, they'll kill the one lady goes crazy and starts killing everybody off. Or there's that one guy who you try to help. This is one guy, and he's essentially a monster in disguise, and he kills all the people there too.
That's because, like, one of the beautiful messages or themes of the game is that you persistence in the face of hopeless adversity, and the idea that persistence, and even though it's hopeless, holding on to a shred of hope, is weird as that sounds, is what keeps you a person. There's this idea that floated around the community for a while that essentially hollowing was what happened when a player threw down their controller and never picked up Dark Souls again. Like, as long as you have a purpose, as long as you have this thing that you're focusing towards and this goal that you're driving towards, and you keep moving, that you'll never become this mindless shamble. So there was even the idea in the game that, like, oh yeah, you know, your character is fighting off hollowing and insanity and just going mindless. But as long as you, the player who represents the will of the character, are still willing to come to the table, your character will never go hollow. You go hollow when you stop playing or when you quit the game. And I thought that was really cool.
The other one I wanted to add was actually Bioshock Infinite. And there's a story in that game. Obviously, there's the surface story where, you know, Comstock is this, you know, totalitarian.
By the way, Bioshock Infinite, fantastic game.
So, but Comstock is this totalitarian leader. Essentially, he's using racism and all kinds of propaganda to brainwash the minds of all the people in Colombia. But then you look at the other side, the Vox Populi, the guys that they're always complaining about. So you see them and you say, okay, these guys are the resistance. These guys are the good guys. But then you find out that these guys, even though their intentions are true, they're just as bad as Comstock. They take over a whole area of the city and they start murdering people. So it kind of teaches that one lesson where it's like, yes, you can fight back against, you know, the government or whatever it is, but there is a point with your because you want so much power, you want to have power over this thing, you become just as bad as the guys that were in control.
Well, yeah, wasn't it a theme of that game that these are all cycles that are doomed to repeat themselves?
Yep.
For the parallel worlds theory. That even when, you know, even if you took Comstock down, even if you take one bad guy down, another one will always rise up to kind of cause the problem because of the duality of man. That's a theme that runs through all of the Bioshock games. I do love those games.
Okay. All right. Chris. Actually, who? Yeah, Chris. Did you go yet?
No, I didn't go yet.
All right, go ahead.
I'd say Metal Gear Solid 3, because Snake Eater had a dichotomy that I never realized, I never thought about. Because going to school, you know, especially when we were going to school, it's like, you know, America's number one, and like other countries, like whoever was a bad guy at the time, have problems and all sorts of issues and whatnot. And then in that game, you're playing it, and I remember the dialogue between the boss and Snake when, I guess, she whooped his ass in the Virtuous mission, and she's like, you know, there's just lines drawn. It's like, what's the difference? Oh no, it was Eva that said it. Sorry, it's not the way they were making out. And she was talking about growing up in China or going to school there, that she got trained, and she's like, you know, she's comparing the three countries, and she's like, do you really think there's such a difference that you're superior, whatever? And I'm like, yeah, I never thought about that. Well, I'm always looking at things from one side. So whenever I look at an argument or get a piece of information, I always want to know, well, what is the other perspective on it? And I think I got that from playing that game.
That's awesome.
Mine would be Valiant Hearts by Ubisoft, which was about World War One.
Yeah, great game.
The storytelling in there. And, I mean, it really didn't sugarcoat anything. It was just telling these sad stories of what was happening during that time. And you felt for it. And then it just gave you – it's one of those things. I mean, we always hear about World War Two and stuff. They don't really talk much about World War One, you know, and it's mainly because the U.S. really didn't get involved. But it's just – it was so sad. Like, yeah, so many people died.
So it just taught me about World War One, I guess?
No. It just – Just to understand the suffering that Europeans have had, you know, for so long, so many wars, so many horrible wars. You know, it's like it wasn't just World War II, and then that's really what it did. It recognized World War I more.
Nice. Yeah, that game spurred me to watch like a shit ton of World War One documentaries. Because I know World War II pretty well. I remember back in the day, History Channel, that's all they
fucking that's what I'm saying. It's like I love the History Channel, but they, like you said, they didn't really go into World War One.
Yeah, in World War One, I was like, fuck, I don't know anything about this war. Like, outside of like some Iron Maiden songs, I don't know shit about that. So it was cool looking into that because of that game. You know what I'm saying? And I still, even though I know it's a, you know, dumb military game, I still kind of want to play Battlefield 1 just to play the story of it. You know what I mean?
The story's sad. The story's
pretty good. Yeah. All right, Carlos, go ahead, man.
I already went.
Okay. I think everybody went, right?
Before we pop off, can I give an honorable mention?
Yeah. By the way, are those the throwdown crickets in the background?
These are the throwdown crickets. Yeah. Everybody say hi to throwdown crickets.
Go ahead, man.
Final Fantasy VII.
What did that teach you?
Well, it's not that it taught me anything. I think it was a lot of people's first exposure towards an Eastern idea of religion or spirituality. I'm speaking specifically to the live stream here. You know, especially if you're raised in, you know, a Judeo-Christian area, like that's the first time you ever kind of got an idea of like, oh, okay, well, you know, it's always been presented in this duality of like heaven, hell kind of thing. But here's this idea that there's this kind of just flow of energy that everything returns to and everything is birthed from. And I remember that being a very powerful idea, especially when Ares died and she died and she returned to the life stream. I wouldn't say it was a very pronounced thing, but I think that affected a lot of people, at least me, and put some ideas in my head when I was young that grew as I did.
Awesome. All right.
Wait, Ares died?
Ares, yeah.
Eris.
Okay. Last question for Mr. All Day Digital. So what was the most disappointing remaster you ever bought?
Disappointing remaster.
Yeah, which one
most disappointing remaster I won't buy is Final Fantasy VII.
Uh-oh.
Leading off my last comment.
But you know, which one that you did buy, you're like, what the fuck, man? This is lazy.
Dead Rising for the Wii.
Oh, my God.
Is that really considered a remaster?
That's more of a port.
It was a really late port that was supposed to polish things up and add new game mode. So I would think you would call it that. I mean, you definitely couldn't bump up the graphics.
It's a port. Yeah, it's not a remaster. Like, remaster is more like an old game that got put on a new system, you know? By the way, I haven't experienced this one myself, but I know people are complaining about the Batman Arkham games, the remasters.
Yeah, I didn't get those.
They fucked
up. Yeah, they're pretty ugly.
One, which one? I wasn't insanely disappointed because I still love the game, but I felt the Resident Evil HD, Resident Evil 4 HD, like Capcom, you could have done better, man. I'm talking about the PS3 version. I don't know if they did a better one on the PS4 version, but I was
they
like,
they probably took the PlayStation 3 version and ported it.
They probably did.
Which God of War did they remaster?
What happened?
Which God of War did they remaster?
They remastered all of them, I think.
God of War Collection.
Yeah, they did God of War Collection, yeah.
I remember going through that and being shocked by the fact that, like, yeah, everything looked smooth and the textures were nice, but everything still looked really aged and dated. I was pretty disappointed there.
My disappointment with those was they didn't do anything with the cinemas. I was like, come on, guys, what the fuck?
Oh, they still look like the PS2 ones?
The full motion video stuff. I was like, it looked bad, you know? I think the Prince of Persia games were like it, too. Great remasters, but those videos looked like fucking shit, you know?
Well, I've mentioned mine in a couple of shows, and that's the Master Chief Collection, man. That was horrific. That was,
yeah.
Just to go back, I took a week off from work just so I can play that, and I couldn't get one single match the whole week.
Play online. It worked for co-op. I did most of them in co-op with some buddies, but whenever we tried to just play online with people and stuff, nope.
And the thought of it was pretty good. Like, if you think about it, Halo 2 or Halo 1 had a facelift, right? They did the Halo 1 collection. Halo 2 had some changes. And you could play either version of it. Like, you can play the dumbed down version from the Xbox, or you can play the updated version with the new new textures and stuff like that. So that was pretty good. But man, the launch of that whole collection was something that was severely disappointing.
They still haven't fixed it. I know people that have it, they said they still can't play multiplayer on it.
That's crazy.
Damn.
It was ambitious. They tried to do too much with that.
Yeah, they released all four Halo games.
Worst remaster. I'm still thinking about them. I wouldn't say there were the ones that I have played, I wouldn't say some of them were bad. They were kind of they were kind of as you remembered a little bit, except the exception of those cinematics that we used. But one thing, being a Kingdom Hearts fan, and also knowing there's two versions of the game, one thing they didn't do was they didn't bring over a lot of the so if you play Kingdom Hearts now, right? Kingdom Hearts the West, both the Kingdom Hearts for Japan and Kingdom Hearts in the West, they actually bothered to reanimate all of their mouths to fit the voices. But when they did the remaster, they didn't bother to do that. So all the voices in the remaster game do not match the mouth movements of the characters because they just remastered the latest Japanese version.
That's pretty stupid.
That's my only thing. Oh, wait. I mean, this is one I hadn't played, but I know this is probably the worst remaster ever made is the Silent Hill 2 remaster.
Yeah, I heard that one. Oh, Shinosky said Silent Hill HD.
Hill HD. Yeah. Horrible game. Like they just, but at the same time, you also kind of have to give them a little bit of credit because they actually made a working game because they essentially, like a lot of companies out there, they lost all the source code. And the source code they did have left over wasn't the complete game that got put out onto disk. So they had to essentially smash a bunch of bugs in the game's code, as well as try to make it look better. And it didn't work out for them.
That's crazy, man. Right, did everybody go?
I didn't go.
All right, go ahead.
I'd say Resident Evil Revelations.
How did they fuck that? I didn't know about that. Well, how did they fuck that one up?
Because it was a 3DS game. I mean, literally, they just took that game and did some stuff with textures that should put on PS3, and then they put it on PS4. I'm like, how? Right? Blowing up a 3DS game, you know? So, and they didn't add anything to it. It's just a straight up same story, same modes.
Aren't they bringing that game to PS4 soon?
They just take the PS3 version. I mean, anything would be improved over the 3DS version, but it's still the same freaking game.
Wow. That sucks. Lazy ass shit, man. All right. If everybody's done, let's move on to, I'm going to say your name correctly this time, man. Sar is great. Because I said his name as T. Sar is great before. Czar is great. So his question is, what do y'all think of developers this generation giving console gamers more quote-unquote visual effects option setting in games. The most famous offenders of this trend are Ubisoft's The Division, Bethesda's Doom, and slightly mad studios' Project Cars. As far as I know, Project Cars gives console games the largest option scalers that's closest to PC option setting than any other console ports that I know of this gen. Do any of y'all think this trend should progress in future titles like it's done in Project Cars, or keep it minimal like in Doom and Division? Nah, man, I like graphics options in games. Put them in more, you know? Like, especially now that you have, like, the 4K TVs. Like, you could opt for 1080p 60 or 4K 30. Yeah. You know, I like that shit, for sure. You know?
I mean, for some people that just want the simple approach, yeah, I can see them hating it because they're like, dude, then I may not be getting the best settings. I'm not too comfortable messing with shit. I can get them, but yeah, no, I think it's always good to have options, right? Yeah. Options.
By the way, Neo did that, and Tomb Raider did that. There's a couple games that do that, you know? I'm all for it, man.
BioShock Infinite did it.
Yeah.
Keep it out of multiplayer games.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, I don't think anybody here disagrees with that for the most part.
No, I don't mind it. I mean, sometimes I would like to turn down the fucking ambient occlusion and everything because that shit takes so much memory for some goddamn reason.
All right, okay, so let's just move on here to Mr. Hashling and Slasher. All right, both of his questions are kind of interesting. So the first one is, would you guys ever consider doing game review videos on this channel? I'm enjoying the hell out of Battle Block Theater lately, and I was wondering what you guys think about co-op platforming games. I don't know, man. Game review videos would take a long time, and I don't know. I wouldn't want to do that. It would just take long, and I don't think those type of videos would get a lot of hits, to be honest, you know?
I also feel like... Give me some free games, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Also the thing of this about all of us is that we all have day jobs, and a lot of the guys that do those sorts of reviews, you know, their lives are the YouTube channel. So they're able to kind of sit there and futz with these sorts of videos. Putting together one of those things just takes an insane amount of time to do. So I'm sorry, but yeah, we probably couldn't be able to do it anyway, especially with a lot of our schedules.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, part of the reason we do this shit live and stuff is because it's easy. It's just we don't have to do any post editing or any of that other stuff. You know,
a lot of the content that we tend to create for the channel is stuff that, you know, we do, we would do in our normal lives. So, you know, this show in itself is almost like a conference call that any one of us would have with each other if we were talking on the phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Except it's a little more structured. But and then there's the other version of the, you know, like our, you know, which we've kind of been dabbling in the live plays, you know,
streaming,
you know, the streaming stuff. And that's also not that much of a stretch for a lot of us because it's just, what do? Kind of playing a game and maybe talking a little interaction, which is, again, something we usually do online, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like the most produced thing on this channel is the Tony's Taste. I don't do those very often, and it doesn't take me that long to actually do them because, again, when I'm playing a game, I just record a little bit of footage, and then if something happens, I just talk, put it together, and that's it. It's very, very fast. So game reviews, proper video game review videos would be way too time intensive, and I don't think, just based off of some other channels I've seen, I don't think we'd probably get a lot of return off it, so it wouldn't really make too much sense. Hold on, Brett. Say that shit for real, man.
There's my mute button. No, I said I honestly would love to be able to do that. Especially if you know, you could find a way to monetize it, like, you know, ad revenue and all that. Like if I could get, you know, guaranteed that I could, you know, help subsidize some of my income, I would absolutely have no problem, you know, because I get to make my own hours, like building around that kind of thing. The problem is a lot of times that there's a lot of lead in. Like we would have to build a channel. One of us would have to build a channel for years. And a lot of these guys who do well on YouTube usually have a pretty good safety net. Sometimes they live with family or friends or things like that while they're getting up off their feet. And then once they start to be able to monetize their channel, they start devoting more time to it. It's like building a snowman. You don't just start off with a giant ball of snow. You have to start off with a little ball of snow and kind of roll it up. So it's not just an issue of like, hey, we could throw videos up there, as much as, well, would you really want to, pay your dues for 2 years and build up a channel. That being said, like if it, like I said before, if I get some fucking free games or some shit out of the deal, I'd be happy to start throwing some stuff up on the channel. So, you know, maybe it's something we could discuss, but that's really a lot of that stuff happens behind the scenes. It's got to be people approaching us, giving us codes or offering to give us codes for video reviews. Like if we had everything provided, sure, I'd take the time, record some of my video and throw it up there. So one day you may see it, but you know, right now we're still trying to build this thing. And you know, we're still, even then we're still trying to build revenue for, you know, the site and the show from doing this show. Do we have ads on before Throwdown?
We added ads this year for the first time. We just started them like maybe February or so. Because again, we never really got into this shit for the money. But it's like, you know what? If we can make some money, and now we actually paid for the first year or so of SoundCloud, which is good. But again,
It's a slow road. And we put out 2 shows a week.
Yeah, which is a lot more than other people. You know, I know bunch of cats. I'm not talking shit. I'm just being honest. I know some cats that actually went on hiatus, you know, during the summer. I almost attempted doing that too, but man, he's like, nope, keeping this motherfucker going. So we do a lot for you guys, but the video stuff. And then by the way, here's the flip side of it. Cause when I first read the question, I thought you were asking about this specifically. I know some other gaming podcasts where they do game reviews within the actual podcast. And again, I'm not talking shit. I'm just like, you just literally stopped the whole momentum of your show to do this game review. So that would never happen either over here, you know? Like, we will give you opinions of a game. Like, let's say, you know, when we occasionally do What Have You Been Playing Lately, that's the closest you're probably going to get to a review, you know, of a game. Or if a game of a new game comes out that's really, really big, we'll give you our thoughts on it, you know, from the first week or so. That type of shit, you know, we've already done.
Yeah, but if you put a structured 4-minute video review complete with gameplay and everything like that, that has to be done. Like you can get a pretty good idea on how we feel about games, but and again, like I would be down to do that kind of thing eventually if all the plates got spinning, but there's a lot of plates that gotta get spun for that to happen. So I wouldn't hold your breath.
Yeah, exactly. It takes a lot, you know, like, again, going back to the whole thing with Angry Joe, it's like, okay, I understand you guys want that specific content from him, but it takes a long time to make that type of content, you know? It's not easy.
Do skits and shit like that?
Especially him, but I mean, even doing something like on the level of like a Game Sack or even like Metal Jesus, that shit takes a lot of time too. Like, that, you know, Metal Jesus is always like, man, like, you know, you don't see this, but I'm like, the way I have my videos set up, I'm always editing videos while I'm not on the air.
Yeah, so he says he only does 2 videos a week because that's literally the most he can do, you know? And you can tell from his videos, like, okay, that guy puts in work, you know? Mm-hmm. But I mean, again, I appreciate the question, but no game reviews, no formal ones at least. We'll give you our opinions of games, but nothing formal like that.
We'll be like, hey, how many of you are playing Hellblade? We'll talk a little bit of Hellblade or, you know, whatever else has come out.
But exactly.
Not number shit.
All right.
Four out of five.
And the last question from Mr. Hashlingen is, would you like to see more game? I guess he's really into this game now. Would you like to see more games like Battle Block Theater or co-op in general? Listen, I'm going to be honest. I don't know what the fuck a Battle Block Theater is, but if you like it, sure. Why not make more games like it? You know, I think you said it's like a platforming game or something. Co-op platforming game. I don't know it. Does anybody in the panel know this game?
I've not heard of that.
I'm aware of it.
All right. Would you like to see more games like it?
yes. Battle Block Theater reminded me of, what was that night game? We played the four.
Was it Castle Crashers?
Yeah, yeah, it was made by the same studio.
Okay,
yeah.
It's like that. Sure.
Yeah, I'm a huge advocate of couch co-op games, and I'm you know, whether that be platformer or puzzle or anything like that, like the ability to sit down and play a game with a friend, I think is at least in my opinion one of the most important things in gaming. And I think couch co-op is incredibly important for, you know, it's gaming is becoming more prevalent. It's very likely that your significant other, if you're into video games, is at least kind of into video games, or you have a chance to get them into it. And so games like this give you an opportunity to share in a hobby. And I think that if that completely disappeared from the industry, that would be an absolute shame. I already think it's an endangered species. So the more games that we can get, even, you know, platformer, you know, shooter, puzzle game, whatever. I think the more of this we can get, the better.
Cool. All right. Moving on here. Here's some questions we picked up tonight. First up, Mr. SoDep1. If you were Microsoft, would you try to buy a Nintendo franchise? I don't think they could pull that off.
They kind of already did.
Which one?
Killer Banjo-Kazooie.
Did they buy Rare when they bought Rare?
Yeah, they got those was Rare.
Okay, so it already happened, I guess.
Yeah, so they already kind of did that one already.
Well, like, what about them buying Mario? That's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. Nintendo's got to go under.
Yeah, that's the only thing. Yeah, Nintendo would have to not exist anymore for that to happen.
Here's my question. Why hasn't anybody bought Game Freak?
Because Nintendo is probably stopping them from doing that.
Yeah.
They're a company outside of Nintendo, though, aren't they? They're technically
They profit share between Creatures and Pokemon Company. So there's a deal with them together with the Pokemon property. The Pokemon property is this weird animal where three companies profit share off of the same IP, you know? And Nintendo is as that pot through Pokemon Company. Creatures Inc. does all the art, the manga and all that stuff, the shows. They sign off on the shows, and Game Freak does the games. So it's kind of weird in that respect.
So nobody could technically buy them even if they wanted to.
No, I don't think you could. You could buy out the studio, but 2/3 of the property would still be owned by Nintendo and Creatures, so it wouldn't help Microsoft.
Yeah.
They would own Drill Dozer and whatever else Game Freak actually makes outside of it.
Well, if Microsoft really wanted to be a dick, they could just buy Game Freak and then shut down the studio. And not allow Pokemon to be made.
We will do to Pokemon what we did to Fable.
Oh shit! You know,
we will do to Pokemon what we did to Banjo Kazooie.
As EA has done with countless before them.
Oh yeah, man! Don't give them anything.
You know, they'll shelf that shit. Okay, I don't think we need to go on any further with that question. So next up is Mr. Fall of Duty. Not Call of Duty. Fall of Duty. All right, so his first question is, this is a loaded question too. Which would have flopped harder on Xbox One, Persona 5 or Neo?
That's a loaded question. Neither of those are particularly geared towards Xbox crowd, but I would say Neo is... unless I'm getting this mechanism.
Yeah, but Neo's more of an action game. I would say Persona 5.
Persona 5.
That's what I was saying. Persona 5 is a turn-based, where Neo is kind of like a cyberpunk action game.
It's Samurai Souls.
Samurai Souls. I think that would do better on
I should ask this. Does anyone not think it'll be Persona 5? Yeah, there you go.
Where are those crickets?
All right, okay, so that's it. Let's move on to the next question here. Who would... how would PS4 exclusives do on PC if they had to play anywhere like Xbox? My question is, how well do Xbox games do on PC? You know?
Yeah. I wouldn't even venture a guess. I don't even
know.
I don't think a lot of people use the play anywhere. Like, I've talked to PC owners about that. They're like, so let me get this straight. I could play my Microsoft Windows compatible game directly on my PC, or I could port it through an inferior console box back to my superior PC. And so basically, I go jump through a lot of hoops to have a less quality experience. Here's an idea. I'll buy it on PC. And they just do that.
I've done it only because where I used to live, I had the console set up in the living room and I had my PC in another room. So then as long as that was on, I can just stream play everything that was on it. I just did it that way.
Okay. I can see it being useful if you have like a laptop that's not powerful enough to play games.
But this is more like, you say, like it's the whole play anywhere thing. Like, would those PS4 exclusives sell on PC? I mean, all those guys have been begging for Uncharted would fucking buy it, you know?
Would they sign up for a PlayStation service to do it?
You don't need a PlayStation service. You just buy the game; it'll play locally on your PC. You know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you have a PC and no PlayStation, would you create a PlayStation account to buy Uncharted so you could use the Play Anywhere feature to then play it on your PC?
Oh, because you probably have to assume you would have to play pay PlayStation Plus, right, in order to have that? Is that what you're assuming?
I'm just saying that, like, I've known as a if somebody is not already in the PlayStation ecosystem, I don't think that they would make – I don't think they'd jump through all those hoops just to play Uncharted. They'd just say, give us a port or we're not playing it.
What hoops, though? It's you make a PlayStation account, then you play the game.
Yeah, I remember EA trying to remember Origin and how games had to be
I know.
You remember the backlash that initially came from that? Like, I have to sign up for Ubisoft service, and I have to sign up for EA's service, and I have to sign up for PlayStation. Like, I have to sign up for all these fucking different services. Yeah. Like, no, I'm just not gonna. Like, yeah, it might make a dent, but I think having to make a PlayStation account would deter a lot of people just because
that's some lazy motherfuckers, man.
I don't agree with it as much as it's pride. I don't agree with that,
especially now with a lot of these sites. And if people really that lazy, just click the options like, oh, link with Facebook. Yeah, you don't press anything.
Yeah, that's it. Link with PSN. Bam.
Yeah, link with PSN. Boom, you're done. Okay, now I can play and show. Oh, wow, I never liked this shit. Delete and move on. You know, whatever. What the fuck is this guy bitching about? Why is he bringing this chick? He's a murderer. Look at all the people he's killing. Oh my lord, I can't play.
Oh man,
fucking serial killer. Right,
anybody else want to comment on that? How well would these exclusives do on PC? On my PC?
How is that PC doing? Have you heard? I haven't heard nothing yet.
I haven't heard nothing. I don't know what's going on.
I suspect that his funding will allow him to get another PC, and he'll say, "Yo, man, that's old. I got the new shit now."
I mean, they carry two power units. Remember? And two power supplies that had to be plugged in and stuff. And that's a lot to carry. That's so portable.
That shit is crazy, man. All right. Anybody else wants to say anything else.
No, I don't really.
All right. And I guess we'll go to the last question here from Mr. Miguel Perez. All right. Miguel. So he wants to know, what do you guys think about Red Dead Redemption 2 not coming to PC? We've talked about this. Just to repeat it, this game will be out on PC the year after it comes out on consoles. This is exactly what Rockstar did with GTA 5. It came out on consoles, then they took it out on PC like a year or two later.
Yeah, expect that
to happen.
But I think the reason why he's probably saying it that way is because Red Dead 1 never came out to it.
Yeah, no, I understand. I don't think they could get away with not releasing it on PC now, especially how well GTA 5 has been fucking doing, you know? It's coming to PC.
While it's coming to PC, I think it's definitely lower on their list of priorities. I would imagine they have much less money, especially through GTA Online on PC, where people are able to hack, just pack in whatever they want, versus on console when you actually, they're trying to encourage you on console that you can't just make a truck appear unless you go out to Walmart and buy one of these cards, and then you can buy it and make a truck appear. Like, being able to hack or cheat in that game definitely subverts their revenue stream, and I think that that's one of the bigger ways that they're making money right now. So while I say it's important, I would say if you looked at how much money they're making, where they're like, PC is, I mean, it'll be nice to grab that money, but that's definitely not where we're going to get a majority of our revenue from.
Yeah, also, they know motherfuckers are going to double dip on that game. You know, they're going to buy it on console first, then they'll buy it on PC later. Mm-hmm. It's a smart tactic, man.
And I'm still waiting for the damn table tennis to come to PC. Oh, what shit. Fuck,
it's not.
Bullshit. you don't understand. A damn table tennis game came out this past week for the PlayStation VR.
You better cop that.
I'm not getting a damn VR headset just to... No.
That's funny, man. All right, man, that's gonna do it for us this week. So thank you for watching and listening. Leave us a question in the comment section of this episode here on YouTube or on the Coalition. We'll answer them on next week's show. And also, obviously, if you're gonna join us live next week, you could toss them the questions too. Make sure to subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Throwdown Show, man. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. Tonight is joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
New Rick and Morty on right now.
Hey, and Rick and Morty.
And Adam Rick.
And Adam Vail.
Thank God the strain is almost over. I fucking hate that show.
Hey. What? Hey, I don't come into your work and start talking about talking shit
about Lucha. About Lucha.
Because Lucha's made out of white gold. That's why. But fucking the train is a knockoff of everything beautiful and kosher with vampires and post-apocalyptic madness.
Oh, no. Are we going to have this argument?
We're not going to have this argument.
Oh, God.
Actually, no, just pause the argument. We'll see you guys next week. Later.
Peace. Deuces.